And you also have to realize, especially again as a baseball coach, that we don't create our world outside in, we create it inside out. So it's not about the outside, it's not about the media, not about the expectations, it's not about anything else. It's about bringing your guys in, developing a great program, building a great culture, investing in your players, developing great chemistry and great teamwork. Team beats talent when talent isn't a team. Right. So the more you build this great team, this team will create success in the outside. Next thing you know, the outside world says, wow, look at that team. Look at the success they've had. Yeah, it's because you built it from the inside out. You're making the biggest difference. One coach really has the power to change lives and ultimately the world. I mean, Billy Graham said one coach will impact more people in a year than most people do in a lifetime. But really, we must recognize that the coaches are the heroes.
You're dialed in to the ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, connecting our coaches with some of the best baseball minds in our game. Now here's your host, Jeremy Schiedinger.
Broadcasting from the ABCA National Office here in Greensboro, North Carolina, and we have answered your call. You are dialed back into our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, and we have a dynamic episode on deck for you today, coaches. Just wait. But this podcast platform is about serving our coaches around the world, especially those that are seeking to develop themselves, those that are wanting to digest different thoughts and opinions on this game and challenge how they're teaching its fundamentals and developing players inside their program. Simply put, this is about personal growth. And if you're into that, this is exactly where you're supposed to be. And welcome to the show. We want to send a huge thanks to our great friends over at AstroTurf for their sponsorship and support of this podcast. And it's easy to see why they have been ahead of the curve for almost 50 years. I mean, these folks have transformed over 200 facilities around the country, and they want to work with you. So head over to their website, astroturf.com. That's astroturf.com. See for yourself what they're doing for facilities like Vanderbilt, Tulane, Wichita State. Find out how AstroTurf can help take your ballpark to a brand new level. Now, our hope is that if you are listening into this show right now, you have jumped on board with us here at the American Baseball Coaches Association, and you're part of the over 7,000 coaches right now worldwide that have invested in themselves and their development. Now, the true beauty of what we do here at ABCA is that we are never going to break your bank account. It's only $45 to become a member. And you can take advantage of the extensive list of membership benefits that we offer our coaches. If you're interested in checking those things out, head over to abca.org, click on membership, see for yourself what we're offering to baseball coaches across every single level. Plus, we hope you and your staff, you have Indianapolis this January on your calendars and you're making plans to join us for our 74th annual ABCA National Convention, where 6,000 coaches will descend upon downtown Indy for 4 days of baseball heaven. It is the can't-miss opportunity of the year for coaches, and it's the world's largest gathering of baseball coaches. It's the number one convention in our sport, so come recharge your batteries with us before the spring season hits. Come take in 25 teaching clinics on the main stage from the very best coaches in the world. Walk the floor at the world's largest baseball trade show. Mix it up with over 300 exhibitors that'll be there waiting for you. Take in one of the 20 presentations that we have going on at our Expo Theater, our brand new Saturday Youth Clinic for any youth coaches in the area. Network with coaches across every single level of baseball at our show. And I thought that I had this settled on last week's show, but I guess we still have folks wondering. Our phones keep ringing off the hook. Coaches want to know, will I be there personally in Indianapolis? The answer is an absolute 100% no-brainer. Yes, I'm packing up some awesomeness. I'm bringing it with me to Indy, and I hope to connect with each and every one of you there at the show. Head over to abca.org, click on events, and get registered for the convention, coaches. You will leave a better coach. A few more notes here before we jump right into today's show. Our next hashtag ABCA chat is coming your way on Tuesday, December 12th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Coaches are going to be checking in to talk about positive leadership, team building ideas. We want to make sure you make time to join us and share your insight. Network and connect with the other coaches on the chat. And guys, it's easy. Go to Twitter, search hashtag ABCA chat, click latest, and answer the questions that we're just posing to the group. Look forward to seeing each and every one of you guys on the chat. Plus, we hope you know that you can always reach out to us here at ABCA for help across every front. Find us on Facebook, the American Baseball Coaches Association. Find us on Twitter, at ABCA1945. You can find me on there as well, at Coach Sheets3. You can always reach me directly by email, Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S, at abca.org. And so many of you are sending us just some terrific notes, emails. We love seeing your tweets where you're sharing the podcast with folks. Keep those coming, and you will definitely have notes for us after this one today. We open the airwaves to world-renowned, best-selling author and speaker, the coach's coach, John Gordon, jumps on our podcast to discuss positive leadership, and what a tremendous episode this is. I mean, John is the ultimate positive thinker. He's written so many books that have made their way into baseball locker rooms around the world, and his latest book is where we spend most of this conversation. We get John to open up his thoughts on how breathing positivity into our leaders and our teams is the true determining factor of whether or not we're going to reach our goals. This show is about culture, how we as coaches hold ourselves accountable to this style of leadership, how we model this for our players, and work towards moving our programs towards the vision that we have for success. Now, John is a huge baseball fan. He works with the LA Dodgers. He's worked with the San Diego Padres in the past, plus speaking to so many top college programs. Plus, as many of you know, he spoke on the main stage for us 2 years ago at our Nashville convention and was absolutely electric. We wind him up. We let John loose on this show, and I'm excited to bring this one to our coaches. So what do you say, guys? Let's challenge ourselves together to lead our programs positively. Help me welcome in John Gordon to our podcast, and get ready, coaches, because this great show is coming at you right now. Thanks for dialing into our ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, and we're going slightly off script for today's show, but we're going to dive headfirst into talking about positive leadership. And to do that, you got to bring on one of the best. We're welcoming in world-renowned author, speaker, leader, consultant, huge baseball fan. We're welcoming in John Gordon. John, thanks for jumping on the call with us today.
Thanks, Sheets. I'm glad you're going off script because I'm definitely not a baseball mind.
Well, I was going to get to that. I mean, you want to talk a little first and third offense? What do you want to get into today?
You know, let's go off the sacrifice bunt. You know, let's figure out what we need to do there. And what we need to bring in our reliever earlier or later on.
I can imagine with you on this call, we will not be needing the bullpen today. No, we're going to talk about a myriad of topics today. But again, centered around positive leadership and what you're doing. And where I come back to is this before we kick this off. You know, I consider myself an energy fountain. So you talk about drains and faucets, and I try to be a fountain each and every day. But I'm telling you what, John, I feel like I'm chasing your trail every day, my friend.
Why is that?
I mean, you set an example every day for all of us paying attention that if we personally want to go grab success, we want to bring our teams and our programs along with us, we got to follow some of these teachings, some of these lessons that you're offering to us. And even as we're talking here, an email comes through from you talking about being a gratitude magnet. It's just a constant trail that you're laying out for all of us to just to follow along and jump on board.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I do try to do that, encourage others. I realize that my main purpose is to just be an encourager, to really remind people of what they already know about positivity, about leadership, and about being the best that they can be so they can bring out the best in others. I do want to tell you, though, my last baseball game I ever played, I was 16 years old, and I hit two triples in the same inning. We were down by like nine runs, and we came back and won the game. That's my last memory of baseball. So whereas people talk about baseball as a game of failure, I always see it as a game of triumph because that was my last game ever.
Keep that feather in your hat, brother, because there's so many guys that don't have that to fall back on as their last memory. That's for sure. I think in my last game, I struck out twice. So, I mean, you know, it's all relative, I guess. But go back to that gratitude magnet, and that email comes through, and I just want to give this to you as just some things that are going on outside, especially directly in my space. It just hit me, you know, a couple weeks ago. Man, I feel really good when I send someone a letter, I send them a note, I send them a text, make a call, and, you know, out of the blue, let them know what they mean to me, let them know how much maybe they've impacted me along the way. And so I went back to a thing we did back when I first got into coaching. We sent out appreciation letters. So you could call it a letter of gratitude. And every single Monday, I'm starting my weeks off by sending a letter of appreciation out to someone in my life. And just getting that email really just accentuated it, especially on today when we're going to jump on the call. So again, thank you for what you're doing out there in your space. I got to go back to this because you're referencing, you know, obviously what you do on a daily basis. And I want to know, and for our listeners, we always start, John, our shows with personal growth. And we talk about your growth as a leader. So how did you arrive? Give us the Cliff Notes version of how you arrived at leading with positivity and showing up each and every day leading from the forefront.
Well, I feel like I've never really arrived. I'm still on this journey, right, of becoming a more positive person myself, of becoming a better leader myself. So I would say I am in this process of becoming the best leader I can be, the most positive leader I can be. And I used to be quite negative. So a number of years ago, I was really negative. My wife had had enough of my negativity. It was early on in our marriage. And she really gave me an ultimatum. She said, change or you're off the bus, was the core of the message. And so I needed to change. I begged her to stay. She agreed to stay. And I wasn't abusive or anything, but I definitely was just always miserable, always negative. And I was really like negative to her. And looking back, I wasn't a great husband or a great father. I had two young children. And so I agreed to change, and I started this process of working to become a more positive leader. Every day I would take these walks of gratitude. I called them thank you walks.
There you go.
And then that really started to have an impact on me. I started to pray more. That had an impact on me. I started to then write and speak. I really realized that was my calling. I wasn't living my purpose. So I needed to do that to fuel up with this purpose, and had a vision for my life now of what I was going to do. I was going to make a difference in the lives of others, and I was going to actually get out of myself and start helping others. And it was funny. I always wanted to be a success, but I finally became a success when I actually made it about others, not myself. I wrote that in The Carpenter. You aren't a true success unless you help others be successful. So that was a personal learning experience I had to go through, and then worked every day again to be more positive, to be a better father, be a better husband. It wasn't an overnight thing. It happened over time, and gradually I arrived at where I am right now as someone who writes and speaks about this, who's living it, who has lived it, and who is, you know, continuing to get better every day.
I love it. Still on your journey, as all of us are. And you referenced The Carpenter, you know, obviously Training Camp, The Shark and the Goldfish. And that's one I know that's gone through a lot of baseball locker rooms. You see guys, I just want to let you know, John, if you ever see a guy hit a double and he puts up the shark fin, you can probably resort that back to The Shark and the Goldfish, The Hard Hat, The No Complaining Rule, Energy Bus. I mean, if anybody's talking about energy vampires out there, that comes back from the Energy Bus. But there was one in particular, you went in the locker room first, and that came out on the really almost the exact same timing that I got here at the ABCA office. And as a coach, I walked in and went, hey, you know, Coach, you know, Gordon's going to speak at our event at Nashville Convention. Let's read this as a staff. Let's really build our culture here at ABCA. So, I mean, your touch has gone far beyond just teams. It's into organizations, into groups around the country. And the one you have now, The Power of Positive Leadership, How and Why Positive Leaders Transform Teams and Organizations Change the World. And I know this book has been a huge success for you. It's been received extremely well. What's the feedback you've gotten from this particular book as we start to open this discussion up?
It's been awesome. I mean, I'm just thrilled at the response to The Power of Positive Leadership. You know, you win in the locker room first. I wrote with Mike Smith, and this was a departure from the fables I had been writing. I wanted to write a book that was really more how-to, the 7 C's to build a winning team. And I should actually say Mike wanted to write it. He approached me about it. So we said, okay, let's write as a how-to. So after we wrote that, after the response to that book, I didn't expect such a great response. But from coaches, from leaders, I mean, that's what brought me to the Dodgers. Yeah. Dave Roberts read it. So next thing you know, he brought me to work with the team for the last 2 years after he read that book. Andy Green read it. So I know that I started to work with them from there. Eric Spolster, who had read The Energy Bus years ago, but he read it, used it with his staff. So a lot of different coaches and staff started to read this book and use it. It started to bring me to more teams. But from that style, I said, you know, I should write a book about positive leadership that takes everything I've learned over the past 10 years in working with these teams and organizations who have read Training Camp, The Energy Bus, Carpenter, Shark and Goldfish, and others of you have, as you have mentioned, The No Complaining Rule. And I want to bring this into a book of what I've learned and share these principles that make these great leaders great. Like, positive leadership is the way forward. It's the way to truly lead a team. So that book became, you know, something that was from what I've learned, and now I'm sharing it. So again, I love the response I've been getting to it. I don't think I've had a book that has done this well so soon. All my other books seem to take a few years to get going, but this one right out of the gate has been doing really awesome. So I guess it's resonating.
I know you speak to such large groups. Go back to that 2016 Nashville ABCA convention. What was your experience and takeaways from having so many baseball men inside the room, but more importantly, lifelong learners that made the sacrifice to be there in Nashville with you?
Man, it was so awesome. I mean, I love baseball coaches. They're amazing. And so, yeah, it was just incredible to have them all there, to be open to my message, to allow me to share it, and to be able to reach that many influencers in one place was very humbling, but also something that I was really excited about because I wanted to share these principles with them and allow them to take them back to their teams and organizations. And so since then, you know, went to Mizzou baseball and spoke to them, Baylor baseball, spoke to them, TCU baseball with Jim and his team. And so it's been really exciting to, you know, again, get exposed more to the baseball world and to these, you know, great coaches and leaders. But I mean, I just loved my time there. I just was so energized being there that, I don't know. I know I was pretty passionate when I was speaking.
That's awesome. It was awesome. And if coaches are interested in cluing that in, go to abcavideos.org, search for John Gordon, the 16th Nashville Convention. A tremendous presentation. But let's go back to the power of positive leadership. It's a direct quote from your book when it talks about when some people hear the words positive leadership, they roll their eyes. They think we're talking about Pollyanna positive, where life's full of unicorns and rainbows. But the truth is, we're not positive because life is easy. We're positive because life can be hard. Open that up for our guys.
Yes. I mean, as a leader, you know, as a coach, I mean, you're going to deal with so much adversity, so many challenges that you have to be positive as a leader to overcome them, to also to continue to move forward. And then you're leading others. So you have to make sure you're positive for them and are contagious for them. So do you want to be a germ or a big dose of vitamin C? But it's important to know you are contagious. So what kind of energy are you sharing? Leadership is a transfer of belief, your optimism, your belief. Your faith as a leader infects others in a positive way or a negative way. So be that contagious leader. I mean, Dabo Swinney, again, is an incredible example of that. Today is his birthday, and there's a video. I retweeted, but it shows a video of when he took the job as the Clemson interim head coach, and a reporter asked him, like, is there any doubt that you shouldn't be here today? That why are you here as a coach? Did you have this doubt, blah, blah, blah? And then they show all these accomplishments that he's had over the past 9 years.
Sure.
And then the national championship, and then it comes back to him and he says no. And so it was like he had this vision, he believed in himself even then, inspired his team to believe, and that's why he was able to transform Clemson.
You walked right into my spider web. We were going to go down this rabbit hole because I love the example of Dabo Swinney, and actually I love to hear you talk about Dabo because you've grown so close with each other over the last few years. And there's a couple moments, obviously his story coming up, and I love the interaction he had with his board of trustees in terms of what his vision was for the Clemson football program. But then there's also a couple moments, John, that you reference. You talk about the halftime speech at the national championship game that they won. I think I'm more interested for our coaches to know about the post-game speech from the national championship game loss the year before. Can you open all that up for us?
So the year before, they lose the game. I'm in the locker room afterwards. They just lost to Alabama. And he walked in. He said, guys, I have never been more proud of a group of men than I'm of you tonight. We just didn't make enough plays to beat a team as good as Alabama. You can't make the mistakes we made and beat a team as good as them. But you seniors, you've left a legacy that's going to live on for a long time. You underclassmen, get ready because we're coming back. And he proceeded to talk about the vision for the future. He talked about spring football, training camp, what they were going to do, how they were going to do it. And I was blown away because they just lost the national championship in front of millions of people. And here he was talking about the future, talking about what they were going to do. There was no wallowing. There was no pity. There was no being upset for a long period of time. Again, they should have been just crying and tearful. No, it was like, hey, we're going forward.
That's right.
And I realized in that moment that positive leaders, great ones like him, despite the circumstances, regardless of the setbacks, no matter the obstacle, are always pointing their team forward towards the future.
I love it. What about that halftime speech in the national championship game that they won? How beyond positive he was. He knew in his heart of hearts they were right there on the cusp and something was going to fall their way.
He did. You know, the year before, right, they lost. So now we're at halftime this year. They're down in the game. Mm-hmm. He said, guys, we're going to win the game. I don't know how, but we're going to win the game. And the way he said it was like, you know what? We're going to win the game.
That's it.
And I had truly believed they were going to win. He truly believed it. We had even talked about it, you know, a few weeks prior. I mean, it just seemed like it was destiny for them to win. And then when Alabama scored with 2 minutes left, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, no way, not again. And then for us to march down the field the way we did with 4 seconds left and score, just unbelievable. I mean, it was just incredible how it all happened. You couldn't orchestrate it any better. one of the most spiritual experiences of my life, I have to admit, was right there in that moment.
Sure.
Dabble will tell you the same thing.
Oh, it's powerful. Now let's go back. I'm going to take you to the Board of Trustees. And I think that story, because I know there's a lot of coaches that probably don't have any idea of what Dabble gone through throughout his career to get to the point to becoming the head coach. But even then, like you referenced the tweet, he knew that there was something much bigger that he could build with the support of the trustees, with the support of the school, great coaching staff, get the right players. He could build something really special. Go back to that moment for us.
Well, he'd never been a head coach before.
Right.
He wasn't even a coordinator. And yet he's now made the head coach of Clemson football. So he's meeting with the Board of Trustees. Mm-hmm. And they said to him, you know, coach, we want to build a program like Ohio State, like Georgia, like Michigan. We want to be like them. He hadn't had a lot of sleep. He was preparing for Georgia Tech and the triple option, he told me. So he was a little angry, and he kept telling himself, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. I mean, he just got the job, don't say it. And he couldn't help himself. He said, sir, I respectfully disagree. He said, my vision is so much bigger than that. He said, I want to create a program where they want to be like us. That's my vision. And I think this is great for all coaches, because when you take a job or when you're developing a new program, your belief has to be greater than all the doubt. Your certainty, your faith in what you're building and your vision must be greater than all the uncertainty and all the negativity of others. You will face that. You will face the naysayers, but you have to believe. Now, it doesn't always come to fruition, right? You have to have this vision, and then you have to go about doing the work and creating it. I mean, Butch Jones, to be honest, right? He had a vision too when he started Tennessee. It didn't work out the way he wanted to, but with Dabo, it did. For a lot of reasons of the way he leads and his positive leadership.
Sure.
But it started with this vision and this boldness, right? This bold leader that says, we're going to build a great program. He didn't have a doubt. He was 6-7 in 2010, was almost fired. Thankfully, he wasn't. Next thing you know, they win 10 games the following year and then have won 10 games since. They just finished their seventh season with 10 games in a row. I think another cool thing about this is that when he took the job, he asked his athletic director for a TV for his office.
Yes.
And the guy said he didn't have it in the budget to give him a TV for his office. Couldn't even get a TV to watch film in his office. So he went out to Best Buy and he bought this TV himself. He still has that TV. He even wrote, like, my TV when they were moving to their new facility. And their new facility, by the way, you probably know this, is a $55 yes. million dollar facility
sure.
with thousands of TVs all over the place with all the TVs that Dabo wants. And
that's
it just shows you, years ago, he couldn't even get a TV. Mm-hmm. Now they build a $55 million facility because of him, his leadership, and what he's built at Clemson. That facility is not built without his leadership. So it's not really about the facility. It's about his positive leadership. And it shows you the vision and the optimism and what a leader like that can do and the difference that they make.
That's unbelievable. Keeping it in perspective, that's for sure. You mentioned a couple terms in there. I'm going to jump all over. And you talked about vision, which is huge, the purpose. And those really, and I've heard you reference them as your North Star. They're the ones that are leading you exactly where you want to go. An example that I think is circulating around, a couple of my friends have hit back to this. Sometimes we'll come back to control the controllables, but we get so lost in the outside world. And sometimes you've got to pull back. I'll reference two words that you use a lot, and I love to hear you expand on these, the telescope view and the microscope view. And if you know what your vision is, you know what your purpose is, if you do the work, using your words, if you do the work, let those be your North Star. You'll get to where you want to go. Open up telescope and microscope and how that relates all together.
Sure, you got to have the telescope, and that's your big picture vision of where you want to go. But then you also have to have the microscope, and the microscope's your zoom focus actions of what you want to create each day to realize the picture in the telescope. If you just have a telescope, no microscope, you're dreaming all the time and you're in vision, but you're not taking actions necessary to create it. If you just have a microscope, no telescope, you are grinding, you're working hard, but you're losing sight of the big picture. So when you hit obstacles, when you hit setbacks, when you have those frustrations, you might give up and you lose hope and you lose that optimism. So you have to have both in your journey. And you also have to realize, especially again as a baseball coach, that we don't create our world outside in, we create it inside out.
Love it.
So it's not about the outside, it's not about the media, not about the expectations, it's not about anything else. It's about bringing your guys in, developing a great program, building a great culture, investing in your players, developing great chemistry and great teamwork. Team beats talent when talent isn't a team. Right. So the more you build this great team, this team will create success in the outside. Next thing you know, the outside world says, wow, look at that team. Look at the success they've had. Yeah, it's because you built it from the inside out.
Control controllables, that term that's around baseball.
It's going around big time lately. Yeah, control the controllables. And again, I also not sure how much we really can control every day. There's a lot going on, right?
Sure.
But you know what? We can stay optimistic. We can stay positive. And we can know that our state of mind and the inside world that we create is what creates success on the outside.
Love it. Well, you know, great teams, it does definitely certainly start at the top. The head coach has to constantly evaluate, cultivate, address. He's got to teach the standards that he has in place. It's really, you got to feed that culture because it's touching every corner of your program, whether you realize it or not. And I think, go back to Dave Roberts, go back to Andy Green and those guys. Talk through some of the examples of head coaches you've worked with and how they're approaching leading positively.
Well, Dave Roberts is just, again, another great example of positive leadership. I mean, look at AJ as well at the Astros. Very similar kind of leaders. There was no accident why they were both in the World Series.
Sure.
I went to Game 7 as a Dodger fan. It was a sad day for me, to be honest.
Sure.
I flew out there after speaking in Philadelphia, got the last seat that I can get out there. I mean, the only seat on the plane. I get that seat, I get there, and you know, the game just never got started for the Dodgers. Right away, it started weird. I always say, I felt like I went to a wedding that was canceled.
That's a good example.
The celebration was canceled.
Sure.
But it wasn't about me, it was about being there to support Dave and support the team, and got a chance to see him and hang out with him before the game, and to talk with the coaches. Met Sandy Koufax, which was a dream. So that was pretty awesome. But again, you know, they were there because of the kind of leader that Dave was, where the Dodgers always had a lot of talent over the years, but they needed someone like him to bring that talent together to be connected. And that's what he did. I mean, I was in his office before the postseason, when a player walks in and he walks over and gives the guy a big giant bear hug. And he just hugs the guy. I said, Dave, that's amazing. Tell me about that. He said, well, he comes to my office, I always give him a hug. And I just love that. Like, here's a coach that's walking around hugging his players, connecting with them. And then we went outside, and this was, again, before the postseason started. The media wasn't around. It was a few days before the postseason. It was just the coaches and players. And he was talking to me for a little bit. And he's like, all right, John, I got to go now. I got to go connect with my players. And he was like, he was done with me. I knew it was his time to go work with his players and connect with them. And he walks over, and now he's connected with all his players. And he does that every day as a leader, to develop those relationships. Great leaders unite the organization, they unite the team, and they connect with the individual. That's what positive leaders do. And then they get the individuals to connect with each other. Most important thing you can do as a leader. I'm sure Brad Stevens is doing the same thing with the Boston Celtics right now. Obviously, Steve Curry has done with the Warriors. We see great coaches do it in football. No different in baseball. Again, how do we get all these individuals to come together to be one team with one plan, one goal, and all working together towards it?
I can feel you salivating for that, because we're coming back to relationships, because I know that is your personal fastball at the belt. But before we go to that, I want to touch on this real quick. When you are around these guys like Dave Roberts, like Andy Green, even, you know, into Eric Spoelstra and all the various ones you've mentioned, is there a language that's present? Is there a way of talking, or almost a consistent language that you can feel, you can hear, you can touch, that's inside their locker room, inside their culture?
I mean, it's love and accountability, no doubt. Love and accountability. There's a lot of love, a lot of growing together in relationship, but there's accountability of like, hey, this is how we do things. This is what our culture is about. These are our standards of behavior. We don't settle for anything less than being our best. And so there's love and accountability. There's a pursuit of greatness. There's a chasing of greatness. There's a drive towards greatness. But there's this love that comes first to develop the relationship. So I would say love and accountability. I wrote about that in Power of Positive Leadership.
Yep.
I see that over and over again with these great leaders. Work with the Rams this year, and I see it with Sean McVay. Again, a young coach, 31 years old, NFL coach. But you see it in the same way. Like, he's young, but he's not letting anyone walk over him. He's delivering the standards, and they know what to expect, but he's also delivering the relationship piece even more.
I love that. You wrote before, we don't get burned out because of what we do. We get burned out because we forget why we do it. And I think, you know, when you come into a baseball program and you walk a season with those folks and you see the every individual is on their own roller coaster. They're going to be 4-for-4 and 0-for-4. They could go 0-for-4 for 10 straight, you know, and it's managing the roller coaster. It's managing the ups and downs, but even throughout the life of a coach, and that's who really pays attention to our podcast, John, or coaches that are out there. Maybe they're out on the recruiting trails and it's a lot of hours in the car. It's a lot of time away from our family, but how can we as positive leaders get back to not allowing ourselves to lose focus of why we're doing what we do?
Well, I think it's about just remembering your purpose. We often start with a big purpose, but we allow life and we allow the challenges and the obstacles and the frustrations to sap us of our joy. And we have to recognize that's the game that's being played, right? There's forces that want to sabotage us and steal us of our purpose. And we have to say, no, I'm not going to let it happen. I'm going to continue to move forward with my purpose. I'm going to lead with purpose. I'm going to coach with purpose. I'm going to remember my why. And I'm going to create this world inside out, not outside in. Worries outside, love and purpose is on the inside. And I'm going to focus on that inside. And the more you do, again, you don't get burned out. I have to do that as well. I'm on the road all the time.
Sure.
I'm traveling a lot. I think maybe this is why I connect with coaches so much. I get coaches, they get me, because we're both, you know, in the same place in many ways. I'm out, I'm working, I'm speaking, I'm trying to encourage others. Well, I got to stay that way myself. If I don't, I can't help anyone. I'm away from my family a lot of times. When I come back, I got to lead my family. I got to be there for them. And so we got to make sure we take care of ourselves first. We lead ourselves so we can lead others. We are positive ourselves so we can share our positivity with others. That we make who we are the most important thing that drives what we do. And so thinking about Dabo, for instance, like the kind of person he is, yes, he does a lot of things right as a leader. Well, he's had such great success because of the kind of person he is. And the great leader he is and who he is, that's what drives what he does. So a lot of times we focus on the behaviors and habits of leaders. No, focus on the heart of a leader. Focus on the why behind the leader, because that's what will drive the habits.
That, my friend, we have a saying on the show, John, called Certified Audio Gold, and you just delivered it. Thank you for that. That was outstanding. Great perspective on that one. You've got some great resources and tools on your website, johngordon.com, the Positive Leader Self-Assessment, some other things. But I guess if there are coaches listening to this and they're thinking, well, number one, they know it starts with them. They've got to commit to this. They've got to buy in. They've got to understand it and bring it into themselves to become an inside-out leader. But also, they need to bring up their assistant coaches or the leaders on their team. What advice would you have for those folks in terms of how to really move forward and change an entire program leading positively?
Well, I have a ton of resources at johngordon.com, J-O-N-Gordon.com, J-O-N-Gordon.com, Twitter at J-O-N-Gordon11, johngordon11 on Twitter and social media. So I'm always sharing resources and so forth. Again, I have a lot of books. Other people have great books. Say, start with some of my books. We have action plans. Do the action plans. Mm-hmm. Work on creating your culture. You win in the locker room. Again, it's a great one. Power positive leadership. Read these books. Really formulate your style, who you are, the culture you want to build. Take what I shared. It's not meant to be a perfect blueprint, right? Mm-hmm. It's meant to be ideas and principles and strategies. From there, you use it to incorporate into your style and who you are. Find what works for you and then make sure you implement it. But we all need a framework. We all need a worldview that we lead from, and decide what that is for you. Who do you want to be? Why do you coach? What difference do you want to make? What culture do you want to build? And then set out to build it. Mm-hmm. One step at a time, one game at a time, one day at a time, one player at a time. If you do that, over time, you're going to have results. But that's how it happens.
Awesome.
And focus on you first to be the best leader you can be.
Now, here comes your fastball at the belt, okay? Now, I don't want to reference it to maybe one of the ones that Correa hit against the Dodgers, but for you, this is I'm bringing this right into your wheelhouse because I know relationships are huge. We talk a lot on our show about being transformational as opposed to being transactional. Those are some buzzwords that are around, but I wrote down this quote, John, in prep for this interview, because we've had this in the books for a while. I've had this piece of paper by my desk that says, John Gordon, and this quote that you tweeted out months ago that I think walks right into it and will help open up this discussion about relationships. You don't have to be great to serve, but you certainly have to serve to be great. Talking about servant leadership, really bringing up the people inside your program, getting away from yourself, but bringing those people up so that you ultimately can get to where you want to go. Can you talk about how impactful relationship building and the love for each other, but also the servant leadership is for teams and coaches trying to build great programs?
Yeah, I think this is a great thing to talk about. It definitely probably the most important thing we can talk about as we come to a close with the podcast. But I do believe that it's all about relationships. It's about serving others and helping others be great. Your greatness comes from others being great and helping them become great. And let's talk about where transformational leadership comes from. I mean, Joe Erman is the one who really coined that versus transactional versus transformational. I want to give him credit because there are a lot of buzzwords out there, but we forget who actually started those buzzwords.
That's right.
And I always love to give credit to those who created those buzzwords in the first place. Joe Erman made me a better parent after reading his book, Inside Out Coaching, because I realized I was transactional. I wanted success so I could feel great about me. And that's a lot of times we do as coaches, because I was an athlete. I always felt great when I succeeded and had performed well on the field, right? So you want that now through your kids. You do it as a coach through your team. But then you realize, no, it's not transactional like that. To be a great leader, I must be transformational. It's about them becoming the best that they can be. And I must serve them to do that. I must sacrifice my ego to help them be all that they're meant to be. And that's where great leadership comes from.
I'm going to let you go on this one, man. We never let a guest leave our show without any last minute tips, advice. Empty out your pockets for us, John. What would you offer our coaches that are just paying attention to this interview and are waiting for one more nugget from John Gordon that you'll offer?
One more nugget is this. Teach your players this. It is so important, but know this yourself. Your negative thoughts don't come from you. We're always battling negativity in sports, in baseball, and life, right? In baseball especially, a game of failure, get some time to think. You're trying to hit a moving object coming at 90 miles an hour. So we have to make sure we understand that the negative thoughts are not really coming from you. Who would ever choose to have a negative thought? Once you understand that negative thoughts exist in consciousness, they come from a spiritual place, just because you have a negative thought doesn't mean you have to believe it. So when self-doubt comes in, when those negative thoughts come in that say your worth is tied to your outcome, that you are a failure, that the future doesn't look bright, that you may get cut, that you'll never make it in pro baseball, whatever it may be, you see those negative thoughts for what they are. You don't believe them. You see them as lies. You realize fear is a liar. And then instead, you arm yourself with the truth. And I talk about talking to yourself instead of listen to yourself. That's a buzz phrase I started, right, that a lot of people started to use now. And but I didn't create that. It was Dr. James Gills who shared that with me, who completed 6 double Ironman triathlons. Last time he did, he was 59 years old, only person on the planet to do this. Asked how he did it. He said, I've learned to talk to myself instead of listen to myself. Same thing in baseball. Don't listen to yourself. Don't listen to the doubt, the negative thoughts. Talk to yourself. Feed yourself with the truth and words of encouragement that allow you to move forward. That's what we need to do as coaches, as leaders, as people, and teach this to our young athletes, because they beat themselves up, right? Yes. The negative thoughts come in. They think it's from them. So then they actually believe it. Then they start to reinforce it. Then they feel bad for having the thoughts. And then they feel discouraged. And once you're discouraged, that's it. The key is not allowing yourself to get discouraged. Remain hopeful and optimistic and believing that the best is yet to come. I've done that with a few Major League Baseball players. I'm not going to say who this year, but I just encouraged them and I watched how it, helped them move through their season this year with optimism and then wind up having a great postseason.
Love it. John, thanks for what you're doing out in the space, man. You are the coach's coach, and we certainly lean on your lessons, your teachings, and we're so thankful that you're out there doing what you do, helping grow us as leaders. Thanks again for jumping on our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, John. We wish you luck traveling, and we look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
And thanks so much, and thanks for all the great coaches out there. I mean, you are the people making the greatest impact. You're making the biggest difference. One coach really has the power to change lives and ultimately the world. I mean, Billy Graham said one coach will impact more people in a year than most people do in a lifetime. And I couldn't agree more. So that's why I wanted to do this. I'm thankful I get to do this. But really, we must recognize that the coaches are the heroes, not someone like me who just writes it. I'm always so amazed at the coaches who live it and breathe it, who are in the trenches doing it. That's the hardest thing in the world to do. So I just want to say I admire them so much. And thanks for having me.
Thanks again for checking out this show. And if you're interested in more certified audio gold, make sure you subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever podcasts are free. You can also head over to abca.org/podcast and scroll through all of our shows. And as always, coaches, thank you for listening in and staying dialed into our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. Until next week, we ask you to keep growing, keep developing, keep challenging yourself inside this game. We wish you and your club the very best, and thank you for what you're doing for the game of baseball.